Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, your host and the founder of Talking with Heroes. For those of you listening for the very first time, you can find out a little bit about our 9-plus-year history. Actually, December 5th, 2015, it'll be 10 years. Just go to Talking with Heroes, heroes.com/about. And we also have a news site where we have all of our current and recent programs we've been doing with R4Alliance.org and the 3rd Brigade Combat Team. So it's thankyouforyourservice.us. There's also a lot of other very informative and good articles for our veterans, our military, the families, and everybody really is out there working with them. And, you know, they can put politics aside and do that. So we've been doing a couple weekly programs now for quite a while, over a year, with R4Alliance.org. And if you've all been in the military or veterans or families, check out what recreational therapy is doing to help our men and women across the country. It's quite interesting. And so I've interviewed about 50 of their organizations now, and we have brand new videos from their conference up right now, youtube.com/BobC9246, and you get to meet a lot of them. Most of them are veterans. And then for the last 6 months, actually more like seven now, we've been hosting a series of call-in programs from soldiers with 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division. They go by Bronco Brigade. Actually, that's their Twitter handle, Bronco Brigade. And we've had call-ins come in from Australia, Malaysia, a number of different countries in the Pacific, and these programs are going to continue through the end of the year. And so we're real excited. And if you've missed any of these programs, again, go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us, and you'll see an article in the left-hand column that says, listen to 3 BCT 25th ID soldiers calling from Schofield Barracks, Australia, and more. And you can kind of go through and check it out, see all the different men and women who have been on this program. And for this program today, we're going to be talking here with First Lieutenant Nicholas M. Ondovcik, and he's an infantry officer with 2nd Platoon C Company, 227th Infantry Division, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, and a 25th ID. And he's going to talk about his service, but also about his recent experience with his soldiers with the Pacific Pathways deployment they had to Malaysia. So, sir, I'd like to welcome you to the program, and thank you for your service.
Hey, thank you, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. If you don't mind, if you could just kind of start out by sharing a little bit about your service, maybe how long you served, where you're from.
Yeah, sure, of course. As you said, my name is Nick Ondovcik. I'm from a little blue-collar neighborhood in Flint, Michigan. I'm an OCS graduate, so I commissioned through the Officer Candidate School in the U.S. Army. I've been in for just a little over 3 years now.
Okay, and what is your job in the Army? What do you do?
Currently, I am a rifle platoon leader. So in standard terms, I lead a group of about 40 infantry soldiers and do anything from administrative work to management to property. And the bare bones of the job is we are a small unit infantry platoon and deploy and conduct operations wherever needed.
Okay, that sounds great. So tell us why you joined the Army and maybe why you chose the Army over other services.
Sure. I graduated college 2011, and I had a great opportunity to work for the University of Pittsburgh football team. I worked for them for about it was great. I worked for them for about a football season. Had the opportunity to move on with them. The coaches went to some other programs, or I had a chance to go into the civilian workplace. I was kind of afraid of the cube, as many of my friends like to say. And the Army has always been something that I was kind of drawn to. The idea of service was very appealing to me, and it really just came out of nowhere. I went into the office one day, the Army recruiting office, and told them I wanted to apply for officer candidate school, and the rest, as they say, is history. So here I am now in Hawaii.
Wow. This next question is, I was thinking about it as I was going to ask you this, thinking about my experience when my daughter came home about 13 years ago.
Sure.
Just out of nowhere, told me she was going to enlist in the Army. So how did your family feel when you told them you were going to join?
Initially, I think it was a shock to them. You know, I studied environmental economics in college, so it's kind of the exact opposite route of what was projected out of college. I was looking at grad school, looking at a lot of options, and, you know, as I said, it was something that kind of came out of nowhere. And at first, I believe they were shocked. It didn't really fall in line like what I've been doing for the past 4 years, but, you know, I have a great support base, great family, and they were incredibly supportive, and I owe a lot to them, and I wouldn't be here without them.
Absolutely. So are you attending college now while you're serving? And if you are, what is your major?
I graduated actually in 2011. I studied environmental economics. It's a broad program, but essentially it deals with the use of resources, scarcity of resources, and how best to use them. So, you know, you have a finite amount of resources, and you need to decide the best way to utilize said resources.
So you're a Ranger graduate, Ranger School graduate. What motivated you, what interested you to become a Ranger?
Yeah, great question. That was really what drew me to the Army. I guess I didn't really answer your question earlier. I was looking at a lot of the other services. I looked at Navy SEALs, Air Force Pararescue, and something about being a Ranger was something that it was always appealing to me. I had a very good friend who served with 2nd of the 75th Rangers, and something about the teamwork mentality, fighting for the man on your left and right. It was something that I really needed, and it was something that I didn't have. And from the day I joined, I went in there, and the first thing I said before I wanted to be an officer, because I really didn't know what an officer was, is that I wanted to be an Army Ranger. And honestly, I didn't really know what a Ranger was. I just knew that I wanted to do it.
So once you applied, I know I'm saying it could take a while sometimes. How long did it take you to be accepted to the Ranger School?
Yeah, so there are multiple routes to do that. The OCS route is a pretty long route. Relatively compared to West Point and ROTC, it's a little shorter. So it's about a 52-week program. You go through basic combat training. I was stationed at Fort Benning. So I went through basic combat training at Benning for 12 weeks. After that, I am processed at Officer Candidate School, which is also on Benning. But I had an opportunity to study Chinese language program. It was a pilot program through the MCOE, the Maneuver Center of Excellence at Fort Benning. So I voluntarily put off OCS for 6 months to study Mandarin Chinese.
Wow.
Still stationed at Fort Benning. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. Great opportunity. Met a lot of great individuals and learned Chinese. But so that was another 6 months. After completion of the Mandarin Chinese program, I then went to Officer Candidate School, which was another 12 or 14 weeks, I believe. I think it was 12 weeks. Very competitive program, academically rigorous, physically pretty tough. Very competitive program where you are not guaranteed your branch or even guaranteed a commission. I was very fortunate, earned my commission in 12 weeks. After that, I had the opportunity to attend a few schools and then went to Infantry Basic Officer Leadership Course, which is where we learn basically the ins and outs of becoming an infantry officer. So that was another 17 weeks. So that was even before I could think of Ranger School. So that was basically 2 years and some change. And then I had to go through IBOLIC, which is the Infantry Basic Officer Leadership Course's pre-Ranger program, which was another 8 weeks or so. Just preparing for Ranger School. I was fortunate enough to get accepted into Ranger School from there in April of 2014. And from there, I did the Ranger thing and graduated in June of 2014. So very long pipeline to get to where I am now.
Sure.
Like I said, very fortunate to get through everything, had some amazing help along the way, and owe it to a lot of people, but a very fulfilling route as well.
So now, Ranger School historically has been men only, but now there's recently there are females have been accepted. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so you know, there's the Ranger Standard, and you know, they demonstrated great character. They I believe they received day one recycles. And so there's three phases of Ranger School after you make it out of the initial week. The initial week is Rap Week. Rap Week, I'm not going to lie, was one of the most miserable experiences of my life. It was very tough, made you question why you were there. Very little sleep, just constant go, 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 and it's to see who wants to be there. I went to Ranger School when it was men only in 2014, and I know a few individuals who received day one recycles and quit. Honestly, I can't blame them. You know, Rap Week was a terrible experience, and to go back and do a day one recycle, you know, I was very fortunate. I had great people in my squad that got me through, and I didn't have to have that tough decision. The females that just passed, I believe, did. So, I mean, that show is unbelievable determination, great character, and just the physical and mental strain of Rap Week alone, for them to be able to do it twice, that says a lot about them. So, yeah, you know, good for them.
Appreciate you sharing that. Listening to you share about your experience, I'm just wondering, did Ranger School change you in any way? And how did they prepare you, for future missions?
Sure, yeah. It definitely changed me. Everything in the Army has changed me up until now. You know, I wouldn't be the platoon leader I am, for better or for worse, for all the experiences. And Ranger School is one of those experiences, you know, you kind of black out. You kind of block out a lot of things, but it becomes muscle memory, and you remember a lot of those things. A very important lesson I learned when I went in, the main thing was getting my tab, you know, thinking about getting my tab, wanting to get my tab, wanting to be a Ranger. And that just, it's the wrong mentality. You know, you go in with that mentality and you're going to, it's the wrong reason. And I quickly learned that. And it's all about helping out the guy next to you, you know, staying awake while you're on patrol, being point man, asking to do more than you think you can do. And, you know, as the Ranger Creed says, shouldering more than your share of the task. And that's really what it is. So I learned essentially that it's not about you. It's about the man that you're, man or woman that is to your left or right. And a lot of these people you see down the road, it's a small army. I've seen a lot of people I've graduated with. And, you know, if asked, we will go to combat together. So you have to be that person. You have to be that Ranger for the person getting their look, or, you know, whoever's on patrol that day, whoever's PL that day. So, you know, in the end of the day, I learned it's not about you. It's about service and serving however you can and what capacity you're asked. So an amazing experience, and very fortunate to have gone through it.
Now, we've had a number of calls from, you know, Third Brigade Combat Team soldiers when they were out there part of Pacific Pathways. Now, you were part of Pacific Pathways. Can you talk a little bit about your mission there and what country were you in?
Absolutely. So my platoon and company did the entirety of Pacific Pathways. So our mission there was really just sharing doctrine and strengthening relationships while practicing interoperability with some of our strongest partners in the Pacific. So personally, my company, Comanche Company, and my platoon, 2nd Platoon, we went to Australia, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Is about a 3-month rotation, and just again, very fortunate to have done it. Incredible experience that a lot of my peers will not get to have. So, I mean, what a amazing experience to have had, especially as a platoon leader. I couldn't have asked for a better time.
What did your platoon specifically do?
So, my platoon, 2nd Platoon, Comanche Company. I was very lucky to be attached to the foreign armies. So, as I said, we practice interoperability. So one of the things that entails is that a platoon from the partner country's army and from our country's army swap. And oftentimes, I think every time, my platoon was the one swapped to the partner countries. So many times we operated independently with the Malaysian army or with the Indonesian army, learning their tactics, learning their doctrine, and really just building those relationships, understanding their culture, and working directly under them, completely detached from the American army, other than a radio, getting hold of our hire, doing situation reports, you know, every 12 hours or so, letting them know, hey, this is what we're doing, this is where we are, but really we fall under their leadership. So very, very unique experience as a platoon leader.
What did you learn from the leadership in these foreign countries?
Oh, I could go on for days about what I learned, but
sure.
You know, they are some of the most motivated, professional, competent individuals I've ever worked with. Great experience for my guys. We went in there with a willingness to learn, an open mind, and you know, I think that really benefited us because we were being attached to them. We got to learn a lot about their doctrine, and just, you know, the focus on the little things. I think we do that very well, and it's great to see how other countries react to the, you know, as I say, the little things. Just taking care of the smallest details, and just really ultimately operating in an environment that's unfamiliar, with a friendly force that is also unfamiliar. So personally, professionally, tactically, I mean, I could go on for days about everything that I learned. Just an amazing experience.
Can you give us maybe an example from one of the countries, Australia, Indonesia, or Malaysia? Just something that stands out
absolutely.
For you?
Absolutely. I mean, is there a specific country you'd like to hear from? Because I have stories from all three.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All three is fine.
Okay, I'll start with Malaysia.
Okay.
To paint the picture for you, it's, I mean, 100 degrees, 99% humidity. I don't even know if that's possible, but that's what it was. So, operating in the middle of a triple canopy jungle, incredibly hot, incredibly wet, always raining, but somehow still very hot. Attached to their company, learning their doctors and their doctrine and tactics. We performed multiple notional raids, notional ambushes on a notional enemy. One thing they are incredibly proficient at is their camouflaging and then movement through the jungle as well. So that's, you know, one thing that I learned is really analyzing soldiers' load, meaning how much we carry on our back. So the American soldier carries, you know, 80 pounds, 70 pounds on their back because we live out of our rucksack, especially the light soldier. The light fighter lives out of his rucksack, whereas the heavy fighter will live out of his Bradley, which is a vehicle, or the striker infantryman will live out of a striker. So we're very self-sustaining. One thing that Malaysia did very well is live off the land. It's not exactly sustainable for us as a 40-man platoon to be able to do that. It did make us look internally and see how we can improve and how we can analyze soldiers' load, what they carry, and how we get our food and water. And that's something that a lot of these soldiers who grew up in the jungle in Malaysia were just unbelievable at. Whether it was one time one of our soldiers who was actually they have a dog tracking team that they bring out. They climbed the trees for us and got us coconuts. One of our guys was having very bad cramps going up and down the mountains. You know, I'm thinking at this point, as a platoon leader, you know, medical evacuation. I'm talking to my platoon sergeant and trying to think about, you know, what's the best route we can get this guy out. He's having very bad cramps. He's close to heat exhaustion. I mean, rightfully so. And the Malaysian dog tracker is like, you know, just get him under some shade and do what we can. We're running out of water, and he climbs up the trees and gets a coconut and hacks it open with a machete. My soldier drinks the coconut water and immediately revived. It was unbelievable.
Wow. So you talked a little bit about being in the jungle. I was going to ask you a couple questions, if you don't mind.
Of course.
What was it like being in the jungle? And maybe run through a typical day for everybody listening.
Sure. The jungle is humbling. I'll say that. Operating, you know, mostly in Georgia and Hawaii, very used to the forest, very used to mountains. My dad lives in Montana. Very used to the mountains, used to the Rockies. The jungle is a beast that I've never experienced. Like I said, it's impossibly hot. I mean, I can't even describe the heat. I think I had a prickly heat for 3 weeks afterwards. It was miserable.
Wow.
And as I said, you know, they were incredibly proficient in operating in the jungle, and being attached to them was an amazing experience. And as much as we learned that, you know, you really have to adapt to your environment. The successful fighter adapts best. So typical day for us in whatever area of operations we're in. You know, our Army operates at night. We're very good at operating at night. We have the abilities and the capacity to operate at night proficiently. In the jungle, however, the triple canopy makes it impossible to see under our night vision goggles. More importantly, there are animals that are much meaner and larger and hungrier than we are. So once sun goes down in the jungle, your movement stops. So the main strain of operating in the jungle is getting to your patrol base, which is an area where you are centrally located and are able to run operations from. So typical day in the jungle, we would wake up at sunrise. We would have our guard set for notional enemy and, more importantly, for any kind of very violent jungle animal, whatever that might be. Once we'd wake up at first sun, or once we would gather at the stand, we would get our stuff together, begin our planning with the Malaysian Army, and begin movement for the day. Movement, to paint the picture for you, generally people think of movement either trucks on the road, or they see World War II films, people walking behind tanks in an open field. That is as far from the truth as possible. It was moving through very thick jungle, up and down mountains, and climbing on vines, on all fours. So a normal movement, about a kilometer movement, will take about 25 minutes under soldier load for a platoon, 25 to 30 minutes, whereas in the jungle, it can take anywhere from, I think we did a kilometer and up to 4 hours at one point. So we would move for the day for about 3 kilometers, take about 8 hours or so, and then we would whatever our objective is for the day, whether that be a notional raid, a notional ambush, or a resupply or reconnaissance, whatever it may be, we would conduct that and do our operations there, and then move out to our next patrol base. And it really, as I said, the operation is dependent on terrain and also sunlight. Those are your two greatest resources, and also enemies. It's very, very difficult operating in the jungle.
Wow. Cannot imagine it. I mean, I've been in Iraq and Afghanistan, but the jungle, it's like, sounds really, really different. Plus, you see it on movies sometimes, too. You know, I don't know how you all did it, especially in that heat. How long were you there? How long were you in the jungle?
So it's kind of hard to say definitively how long we were in the jungle. Indonesia was a little less jungle, little more, I guess, semi-arid climate. Incredibly hot, 105 degrees, a lot more dry. We were there for the dry season. In Australia, actually, we were operating in an area that was a lot like, you can compare it to Georgia. Unfortunately, though, it was just abysmally cold at night. It got very cold in Australia. So Malaysia, I believe, was about a month. We were in Malaysia for about a month and operated in the jungle for about a week. But the deceiving part is that we had classroom days of classroom instruction. However, unlike being in a college classroom with air conditioning and reading a PowerPoint, the classroom instruction was being out in the jungle and, setting up camouflage fighting positions or working on that movement. So the Malaysian jungle, we spent about a month. Indonesia was also about a month, somewhere around there. And Australia was a month. But as far as triple canopy jungle goes, we were there for about a week, which really felt like a year. So as far as operations go, it was tough.
Sure. Did you ever have any encounters with any big wild animals or anything like that?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. There are multiple pictures of giant snakes, giant spiders, millipedes that look like snakes. There are monkeys everywhere, so that's one thing. You know, whereas hiking in the Rockies, you have to hang your bags up for bears. You need to really protect your food in the jungle because monkeys are very very clever in getting your food. The big animals usually stayed away. You could see them pretty far away. The small ones are the ones that I was worried about. My platoon and also the Malaysian company that I was attached to nicknamed me Jungle Boy because at one point I had 9 leeches attached to my body, unbeknownst to me. So that was my literal nightmare.
Wow.
Yeah, so as I said, the small ones were the real creepy ones. The big ones, pretty much stayed away because a Malaysian company, you know, as we were attached to them, we were about 120 strong. So movement, as you can imagine, up and down those mountains is pretty loud, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the leeches are everywhere. They are vicious.
So you survived the jungle. Now what are you planning for the future? What are you planning for the future?
Right now I'm just serving in whatever capacity the Army sees fit. As I said, you know, it's a privilege to serve. I would like to go to the 75th Ranger Regiment. We'll see how that happens. If not, I will continue to live in beautiful, sunny Hawaii and, as I said, serve in whatever capacity I see the Army sees fit at this point. Just a privilege to be here and a privilege to do my job, so I couldn't be happier.
Sure. I appreciate that. So what would you tell someone, maybe from your hometown or really anybody listening, that doesn't have a lot of knowledge about the Army and those of you who serve?
Well, I'm happy you asked. When I graduated OCS, I worked at the recruiting office in my hometown, Flint, for about a week. It's a program the Army does once you get out of basic combat training or whatever individual training you're in. You can work for that recruiting office for, you know, essentially you do it for leave, but you get to see how a recruiting office works and the chain of command works. Recruiting offices generally don't work with, you know, the percentage of OCS to enlisted is generally pretty small. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'd say less than 2% are OCS applicants. So I went to a lot of the local colleges. There's a big U of M satellite campus, University of Michigan satellite campus in Flint. So I went there many of the days and spoke with a lot of the people about that. And, you know, the big thing about the Army and whatever it is, you know, and this is my opinion is service is important no matter what it is, whether it's Teach for America, AmeriCorps, the Army, the Peace Corps, whatever it is, I believe in service because I was coming out of my hometown, was given a lot of opportunities that a lot of people weren't. So, and that's one thing that I would like to express to any individuals back in my hometown is just the power of one and being a steward of your area and just selfless service, whatever it may be. Just serving is important, and serving someone else other than yourself is very important. So that's what I would say, whether it's the Army or any other branch or any nonprofit organization.
I have a feeling you probably participate in volunteer activities.
Yeah, absolutely. My platoon is very active in volunteer activities around the community.
What, do you have any specific volunteer activities you can share with us?
Sure, yeah. I would love to talk about it. I can talk all day about my platoon. They're a great group of guys, and they really just embody that selfless service that the Army is looking for. Great group of individuals, very intelligent, and as I said, always looking for the opportunity to get out there in the community. So recently they helped at the Wheeler Middle School set up for their Halloween party. So they're out there in their civilian clothes setting up spider webs and skeletons and haunted houses for kids. Another thing we do, actually we have coming up soon, as you know, Hawaii is known for the beautiful beaches. And I really preach to the guys, especially being an environmental economics major, just conservation of the land, being a steward of the land. And a lot of our guys are all about that. Got a lot of guys from very rural areas. So you'll often find my guys out there doing off-post PT, which is a great privilege, great opportunity for our guys to get out there. But once we are done with our off-post PT, we'll pick a beach for the day and clean up that beach. As you know, Hawaii is pretty populated, especially Oahu, and with population comes, degradation. And they do a very good job of getting out there and cleaning it up. And, you know, the impact of 40 guys, very motivated soldiers, getting out there and doing that work is huge in the community. So you'll often find those guys out there doing that. And it's, you know, like I said, it's an amazing opportunity. And I'm very fortunate to be able to be in a position to lead these guys.
They're very fortunate to have you all in your unit too, that's for sure. Well, great. Well, I appreciate you sharing all of this. This is very helpful. I'm sure people are really excited about what you've shared.
Before we
end the program, would you like to give a shout-out to family and friends? Just take your time.
Yeah. I could go all day, so if I forget someone, I apologize in advance. I'm sure I will. Firstly, shout out to my soldiers, and more importantly than a shout out is a thanks. As I said, I lead the best soldiers, I believe, in the Army. I'd put them against anyone in the Army. Not even this island. I think I have the best platoon in the Army. Just the greatest guys to be around, and I really wish I could express how grateful I am to be able to lead their platoon for this past year. So it's been a great, great privilege, and I really do love those guys. So in addition to that, my chain of command has been amazing. I don't know what I did to have amazing karma and be lined up with this chain of command, but Captain Donahue, Captain McCormick, First Sergeant Thomas, Colonel Williams, Staff Sergeant Ullman, my platoon sergeant, thank you for telling me when I'm making dumb decisions, Captain Gilbert, everyone in Comanche Company and Wolfhounds. I couldn't be happier to be a part of that unit and its history. Also, everyone along the way, so Captain Cottle, Staff Sergeant Rodas, Sergeant First Class's Ally, Sergeant First Class Ream, First Sergeant Broadwater, the Trapp Brothers, so Chris, Billy, Giles, Bob, thank you guys. You guys have set the standard and keep helping me improve. As Staff Sergeant Rodas always says, you're only the average of the five people you hang around, so thanks for always forcing me to improve. And last but not least, and most importantly, my family, my mom and my dad, thank you guys for always supporting me. Thanks, Mom, for always driving to whatever Army graduation it might be, no matter how large or small. My brother Dustin, Kathy, the girls, Craig, Tim, Tony, you guys are amazing. I love you guys, and thank you for everything you do, and wouldn't be here without you. So I'm sorry I forgot somebody. I'm very sorry if I did. So thank you, guys.
Well, thank you very much, sir, for your time on the air today. I really appreciate you sharing all that you did. And what I'll do is, a little while, I'll copy you on an email that goes to Captain Roman, and so you can see where we've posted about your show, and so you can send it out to people that you want to listen.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, thank you very much, and thank you for having me. Great experience, and I really appreciate what you do and getting the good word out in the community.
Well, it's an honor to keep doing this. Hopefully we'll be able to keep doing this for a long time. As long as
our men and women
are serving, we're there to help support them.
Yes, sir. Well, I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You have a good Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year and all the holidays. Enjoy yourself.
Yes, sir. Likewise.
Thank you. Thank you again for your service.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Absolutely. Folks, you've been listening again on TalkingWithHeroes.com. We've just been talking with First Lieutenant Nicholas Ondovcik, and amazing things he shared, a lot more detail than I've heard before, especially the part about being in the jungle. I can hardly imagine that. And this is, like I said in the beginning of the program, this is something we're doing almost every week for 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division soldiers. So, if you want to hear about more of these men and women, again, go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. Click on the article that says, Listen to 3BCT, 25th Infantry Division Soldiers, calling in from Schofield Barracks, Australia, and more. So I want to thank you all for listening. I always ask if you can share the programs. We post about every one of our programs, whether it's 3BCT or an R4 Alliance member. On our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us, but also we have all of these programs with 3BCT on that one article. And so if you could share these programs with everybody you can on social media, that would be very much appreciated. And to all of our men and women who have served our country, we're just a few days away from Veterans Day. So thank you, all of you and your families, for your service to our country. Thank you to our active duty military and your families, and to those men and women who might be in an area where you could be in harm's way. Be safe. Stay alert. We look forward to you coming home real soon. God bless you all, and God bless America.